Does anybody have any questions about anything in the minutes from last year's meeting? Now would be the time to ask them. I see a question in the back, but is it a real question? Renee, does your son have a question? No? Okay. The answer is Jesus, as of course it always is. Okay, well, those are the minutes. Take time to look at those. At this point, I'd like to transition to the reports. I want the senior warden, who's Wendy, to give hers. Then Julia will give a quick comment about some of the many business building projects we had this year. Then Wendy will give the report for Melinda about the treasurer's report. And then anybody else who submitted a written support into this printed one is welcome to come up. I think my wife is going to speak a little bit about Awana. And then I'll give my report last. So everything that you need is in here. There are more reports in here in print than will be actually delivered orally. So I do encourage you to read this. Let's see. And then also the last thing I want to say is I will do questions during my report. So please hold all your questions to the end. All right? Wendy, come up.
Hello, everyone. God has completely overwhelmed his people at Holy Trinity Parish with good things this year. We find our church building filled to capacity nearly every Sunday. We've had record-breaking attendance numbers multiple weeks over the past year, and not just on Easter or Parents Weekend. And we're grateful for the expansion projects of the new parking lot and the new pew frontals, which make sitting in the front rows a little less intimidating. And we're grateful for the outreach opportunities God has given us this year. This spring, our congregation responded mightily to the Bishop's Challenge to raise funds for the Alexandria School of Theology. And our Bishop challenged us to raise $1,000, and we met his challenge by donating $2,420, nearly 2.5 times the amount he requested. And at the annual synod of our diocese, Bishop Julian Dobbs issued another challenge, this time to intentional outreach in our community. And this parish worked together as a community and as a family this August to host a family fun day. And the time and donations we received allowed us to finish significantly under budget, almost $400 under budget. And more importantly, our family fun day event reached nearly 100 members of the community who had never been on these church grounds. And God has overwhelmingly blessed our parish with financial security. Multiple times this year, our congregation has responded to a call for donations, yet our personal finances have increased, and we now have the option to offer our tithes digitally on the Tithely app. If you have questions about that, ask anybody, and we can get you set up for that service.
Literally anybody.
Anybody. Adam told everybody. So even some of your parents heard the presentation. So praise God for the generosity of his people. And the spiritual life of our parish is something that cannot be demonstrated with graphs or numbers, but the vestry is confident that God continues to bless us in this area as well. We are blessed to have a rector who consistently teaches us from God's word. Last fall, Father Adam introduced a midweek Christian education on Wednesday nights, and this program reaches both adults and children. It's a wonderful resource for spiritual growth as well as for community. So many thanks to Adam for preparing weekly teachings, which take quite a while, I think, and to Catherine and all the volunteers who make our much-loved Awana program possible. Holy Trinity Parish has been blessed by membership in our Diocese of Cana East. As a missionary diocese, we have the privilege and the responsibility to invest in growing congregations. And for months, we've been praying for the church planting efforts of our brothers and sisters in South Bend, Indiana. Last month, a contingent from their church plant visited our vestry and presented opportunities to partner with them. The vestry heard the report regarding their needs and their growth, and we have approved an outreach budget of $3,000 in the next year to support their continued growth. While they primarily asked for continued prayer, their goals involve finding a rector and eventually their own building. And we're honored to be able to support their fledging congregation, and we're humbled to have the ability and the position to do so. And as we look ahead to next year, we are overwhelmed with gratitude for the fullness of our church, but we are overwhelmed nonetheless. Our new parking lot has proven to be as consistently full as the old one, and our pews have been getting cozier and cozier. And a parishioner recently remarked to Father Adam, Adam, if you want to keep the church from getting so full on Sundays, just stop preaching the Word of God. But we're grateful that we have a rector who will not stop preaching God's Word. We have a rector who continually blesses and challenges us with his teaching of Scripture. And we have a rector who deeply cares for the members of his parish and meets challenges with prayer and with wise counsel. And we also have a part-time rector, which is something that can be difficult to remember when we consider the growth, the spiritual, the physical, and the financial growth of this parish in just the past year. The vestry, under Father Adam's suggestion, has approved the formation of a strategic planning committee to develop a vision and a plan for the future of our growing parish. And this committee will meet in the next month, and we look forward with confidence and faith that God will continue to provide for our parish. 2 years ago, the vestry stepped out in faith and approved a contingency budget that allowed for the part-time salary of a youth and family minister. Father Adam and the vestry have interviewed several candidates for the position, but we've only recently felt led to offer the position. And we are thrilled to announce that Deacon Tim Taylor has accepted the position. He and his wife Melanie and their two girls will be moving to Hillsdale in May to begin the work of the Youth and Family Minister of Holy Trinity. Among other qualities, Tim is an ordained deacon, and he will soon be an ordained priest in our same diocese, Cana East. This has the added benefit of relieving some pressure from our part-time rector, as Tim will be able to assist at the altar and he will be able to occasionally preach. When we approved the position of Youth and Family Minister 2 years ago, the vestry set the part-time salary at $15,000 a year. Last year, Father Adam requested that $5,000 be moved from his own housing allowance to the offered salary in an attempt to make the position a more realistic, livable option for a clergyman. When the vestry reviewed the budget this year, we made the unanimous decision, backed by Bishop Julian's support, to keep the youth and family minister's salary at $20,000 while not removing funds from Father Adam's allowance. The vestry feels that Father Adam's offer, generous though it is not a necessary sacrifice. We want to thank Adam for 2.5 years of faithful service, not by reducing his salary, but by providing for a fellow minister with whom he can continue to serve our parish. And as we look forward to ministry in 2019, we are faced with a new set of challenges. God has overwhelmingly blessed our parish with security and with new growth. We are grateful for the opportunity to bless others like our friends in South Bend, and we're eager to receive the benefit of two ministers at Holy Trinity. These opportunities carry a new financial burden. Bishop Julian, Father Adam, the vestry, and I are confident that God will continue to provide abundantly for our needs, and I encourage all of us to consider increasing our donations to this end. And we are grateful to serve in a parish of overwhelming generosity. And I would like to read a short passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that especially touched me as I reflected on this past year and the challenges facing us in the next. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own free will, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to God, and then by the will of God to us. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Wendy. If you have any questions for Wendy, just maybe jot it down, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Julia Gamble, please come forward.
My last year was a very busy year. I volunteered to actually stay an extra year and kind of wondered about it once I got going. But we had a very busy year with many large and small projects, and I'll just kind of go through the projects that we had and where the money went. We had the spring and fall cleanup days and had several good volunteers. And in the spring, we had college students helped us that were some good men, and they had one good woman with them that day. And so that was very helpful, and we really appreciated that. The roof needed some shingle repair. That cost $90. Furnace needed checkup and filters, $105. Plumbing leaks. 140. We had some repair to our alarm system, our cellular antenna, and the capability to keep our security going well. And so that did raise our bill a little bit. $15, is that high?
$15 a quarter.
Quarter, okay. Because I had a different, but that I know I was just guessing. So our bill did go up a little for that. And then we needed to keep our lights shining on the building, and that also helps for security and that. And we, of course, changed them to LEDs, which helps with the finance on that, but that was $503. And then the choir loft received risers, and then we also put the I read mine at home, and now I'm reading yours. We had the frontal on, and that was $1,105. And the kneelers that was $2,213, and the risers were $1,105. And of course, you all know we expanded our parking lot, which maybe we should have gone even more, but it has been a help, and got it all lined out. And in the spring, they'll be doing a sealing of the parking lot and getting all the lines straightened out. We should get only a couple more parking areas, but...
It's not a very good stand, is it?
No. It's rolling away on me. but at least two more are better than none, and as you go on, we may need to do something different. Last but certainly not least, we got a new organ, which is a beautiful asset to us here. And at $24,000, which $16,853 came from funds that we had already donated to the purchase of that organ. And as you know, it's been in now for a few weeks, and we're being able to enjoy the beautiful sounds. And also without any cost for us, was very great, was 60 chairs from the Dow Center. And thanks to Larry and Penny Arn for lending these chairs in the meantime. We purchased music, which was a fantastic deal that we got from the Dallas Church. So that was a great help, as we needed some new hymnals and got them at a very reasonable price. So all these things keep our church going, and without all the help of everybody, not with their donations of money and time and suggestions, and it couldn't have happened. So we it was a busy year. It was fun. Sometimes it was hard, but it was exciting, and I think we did a lot of great things with a lot of great help.
Thank you, Julia.
Mm-hmm. Question.
Hold your questions to the end. Write it down, and you can write it down, and I'll take all questions all at once.
Oh.
Is that okay? If you have a question, just hold on to that question.
Well, I do want
to.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay. Treasurer's report. This is coming from Wendy.
Many thanks to Melinda Kilgore for being our faithful treasurer for how many years now?
82.
A lot of years.
About seven, probably.
For a lot of years. Short stories that were good, you guys. Contributions to the parish from January 1st to October 31st totaled $104,472.27. You can see all of these numbers on this page. It might take you a while to find where the numbers are, but that's where all the numbers are coming from. Contributions at year-end are expected to total $124,634.23, based upon giving patterns for November and December of 2017. So that number will go up or down based on how much we receive in the next month and a half. Next month. So the balance in the bank for the operating fund and all designated funds totals $44,805.78. The balance in the investment account totals $105,723.04. And transfers totaling $3,000 were made from the operating fund to the investment account in 2018.
So now we're up to $4,000, though, right, Melinda?
Yeah.
So every
every time the every quarter we move $100,000 in there, or $1,000 in there. So the budget performance as of October 31st, 2018 is $85,099.43. That's the actual expenditures versus our planned expenditures of $82,656. I keep saying dollars too many times. Budget performance at December 31st is projected to be $103,776. That's the estimated actuals versus the planned budget performance of $99,000. So we have a projected overrun of $4,588.56. So the variances to the planned budget are primarily driven by a $500 overage in snow removal and two non-budgetary expenses, $4,900 for the final payment of the parking lot project, and $5,700 for the final payment of the new organ. Another $47,426 was spent from designated funds, for a total of $132,525 spent as of October 31st. With a projected year-end total income of $124,634 and projected year-end total expenses of $151,203, that represents a total overrun of $26,569. It is, however, worth noting that nearly $17,000 of this represents cash the church had already had in a designated fund for the organ. The rest of the overrun can be explained by major capital projects which were not budgeted from the past year. The parking lot expansion, and a significant portion of that was paid for by designated gifts that were received in December 2017, and the remaining balance of the new organ after the designated savings was depleted. On the day-to-day operations level, we are actually spending less than we receive, which is a good thing. So,
just make sure we're clear.
Yeah, we're good. Looking at the 2019 budget approved by the vestry, the majority of the projected expenses are looking the same as in the previous years, but there are three major areas of increase. $20,000 for the youth and family minister's salary, and notice a corresponding increase in funds set aside for the Cana East clergy retreat in order to send a second clergyman and his wife on the trip. We won't be spending extra to send clergy to the synod this year because Adam and Catherine are having a baby that time, so they aren't going.
We got dispensation from the bishop to stay behind, so it's good.
But we will have clergy going, so that's also good. So we are also increasing a $2,405 increase in our tithe to support the ministry of the diocese, and that's based on a vestry resolution in 2016 to increase our diocesan... to increase our support for the diocese by 1% a year until we reach the full 10% of the tithe. Right now we are at...
this year was 8, next this year 9.
Yeah. So next year we'll be giving 9% of our income to our diocese for a tithe. And we also have the commitment to provide $3,000 at $250 a month of startup support to Cana East's new church plant in South Bend, Indiana, in order to see them through their first year of ministry. So in order to meet some of these new expenses, the vestry was able to trim almost $3,000, $2,900 from other line items based on underruns in 2018's budget. So you can also note an additional contingency expense of $4,500 to apply a seal to our parking lot, both the old and the new portions at once. That's part of a normal maintenance cycle for the old part of our lot and will also complete the expansion project. So that item is listed as contingency on the budget, so that our normal day-to-day budgetary obligations are clearly conveyed. Okay. And if you have any requests, you can come ask anybody on Vestry or Melinda for information about that.
Now, I imagine the financial report, thank you, Wendy, is a lot of questions. So again, try and hold those, and we'll try and tackle them all at once, because it's possible we might answer them for you as we're proceeding through the rest of the reports. So thank you, Melinda, for all your hard work in putting all that information together. You can see this first sheet here is sort of a financial snapshot of the parish as of the end of October. So this gives you a list of our current investment balances up here, incoming cash and outgoing cash, and then some fund balances. So that's what that is. On the next page, on page 10, is the budget for 2019 that the vestry approved at our November meeting. And this budget has last year's budget on it, or rather this year's budget, the expenses to date based on that budget, 2019 budget, and that third column, and the last column is the difference between last year and next year. So that's what these two charts are. Catherine, are you still here somewhere? Would you like to just talk quickly about Awana and what that's all about for those who don't know what's going on there?
So Awana was started last January, so we're just completing a year now, as a joint effort between Stevie Nichols and I to provide something for our children during the Wednesday night teaching that Adam does. We had actually started the fall before that with a different curriculum, and we found that that other curriculum didn't work as well for us. We wanted something that was really prepackaged so that we could minimize the preparation time for us, but that also had a proven track record of success with kids. And the kids have loved the Awana curriculum. It's just been super helpful. I think we're definitely going to stick with it, unless Tim Taylor has other opinions. So right now we have one Sparky and six Cubbies. And so because it's Emma Kuykendall and it's, you know, the Kuykendall family, we keep them all together for most of the time, except the Bible memorization time, which is really where the age difference starts to matter. And so we have a time of singing together at the beginning, prayer, a reminder about behavioral rules for club time. And then we do a teaching time where we either walk through a story from the Bible or some principles about our relationship with God. And then we have workbook time, which is where we go through and help them memorize their weekly Bible verse. And they get prizes for successfully completing each verse. And then we have snack time together with stories, and then game time over here. We move all these tables out and do all kinds of fun games. When Stevie very sadly had to move to Texas a few months ago, Dietrich Balsba stepped up to fill her place as my co-teacher, leading the game time and kind of being a steady presence. But then also, since we now had seven kids this year as opposed to the six that we had last year, we decided we really needed four volunteers every week. And a young lady named Vera McIntosh from the college, a student, volunteered to be that fourth person every week. And so we've only needed one rotating volunteer every week. And we've had, I think, about a dozen volunteers sign up for that, as a result of which each of them only have to be present once a semester or so. It's almost worked out to that. So that's been really great. I'd say that the challenges for this coming semester, or this coming year, especially once Tim Taylor arrives, will just be that, number one, we don't have any security checks right now. We don't have background checks, partially just because we're just limited on resources and it's especially time. And but it does need to happen. It's something that's required by our diocese, and just common practical sense says we should do it. So that's one thing we really need to do.
Background checks for the volunteers, not for
right.
the kids.
Right. So right. And then also my time has just been, I've been feeling stretched a little bit thin with everything going on. So I'm very grateful that Tim Taylor is coming. We're very excited about his arrival. So thank you so much to all the volunteers. Many of you here in this room have volunteered for that. Thank you so much for that. And especially to Stevie and Dietrich and Vera. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I wasn't sure how many of you are familiar with the Awana curriculum. I know some people have had kids and have done it in the past, but that is new to our parish, so I just wanted to give you a quick update about what that program consists of, so that you know we're not indoctrinating our kids in some kind of strange and erroneous doctrine, right? So for my report, I don't actually have a lot to say. You'll be pleased to find out that members of your vestry conspired to make sure that I didn't bore you this year like I did last year with talking. So they quietly set me aside and said, can you say whatever you're going to say in your sermon instead of saying it at the meeting? And I duly bowed to their wishes. But just to note that we have some fodder for questions. I'm going to just take questions at this point. Let me just call you quickly to what I actually said in my report. I won't read the whole thing to you. I'll just summarize it for you. So we had growth in Christian formation. You heard about Awana. That's really been awesome. The kids have been very faithful in coming to that almost every week. And we've had growth in volunteers for that, so we're very, very excited about that. Christian formation upstairs has still been going on. The numbers have been up a little bit there, but I'd still like to see more of you come to that on Wednesday nights than are currently coming. So I'll just put that bug in your ear and leave it at that. Let the Holy Spirit do the work of conviction, I guess. Phil Kilgore and I are working together on forming a strategic planning committee, and the point of that committee is just to take stock of where we are, to look at our mission statement, which this parish drafted many, many years ago. I'm not sure how much we've used it or how much it's been kind of a part of our life together as a family. So we want to look at it, see how applicable it is to us now and to the ministry opportunities we're seeing in the community now, and just sort of set course so that we can provide some just high-level priorities for the vestry as we make the more day-to-day decisions moving forward in the next year. So that's kind of our thought there. That group has been formed. We're trying to arrange times where we can all meet sometime in the next year. The Adopt-A-Student ministry has been great. I encourage you to read what I have to say about that there. My basic take on that is we have an opportunity as a small rural parish to make a national impact, because these kids come out from all over the United States and are leaving Hillsdale College to go back to all over the United States. And anybody who's spent any time conversing with a Hillsdale College student these days knows they're all just very high-caliber people with great intellect and a great desire to serve and to grow liberty in our country and certainly the kingdom of God. So our opportunity, when we have them for 4 years, to shepherd them and pour into their lives a little bit, we may wonder, well, what does that do for us in the long term of Holy Trinity Parish? Not a lot. Of course, we get benefited by the relationships. But just knowing that we've had an opportunity to serve these kids as they go out from here. The college is one of the most formative time in a young person's life for faith development. And so if you have not adopted a student, it's pretty low key. I mean, it's not highly organized in the sense that there's somebody that's sort of breathing down your neck. Just invite them over to your house and have dinner with them a few times a semester. Give them a place, a home, that's not a dorm that they can enjoy. That's all there really is to it. Just be mentors and family to these young people. So if you haven't yet adopted a student, talk to Wendy and see if you can't get on her radar. I do want to thank all the students. Sometimes we wonder, what are the students doing for us other than taking up all our space and eating all our food? They're doing a lot, actually. The nursery downstairs on Sunday is almost entirely staffed by students. The volunteers for Awana on Wednesday night have been entirely students. The choir upstairs is mostly students. The students have been showing up on family fund, showed up for the cleanup days, a few of them. So they really are. And then we had students this year actually prepare meals for us a couple times down here on Sunday. So they really are contributing quite a lot. And so they may not have a lot of money, but they give us their treasure and they give us their time. So I do want to just make sure that they're publicly thanked for their service to this parish. Opportunities for growth. Things are tight upstairs. You guys have all noticed. The vestry's thought is, we all love each other. We're all family. We can squeeze together, right? And I think that's true, but only to an extent. We need to think about long-term solutions. Part of the reason why we're forming this committee, to help just think through that issue much more strategically and rather than just reacting to it in the moment. We are happy for the growth, but it comes with challenges. It comes with this place being packed down here for lunch, and those kinds of things can be off-putting to some people sometimes. It's full upstairs. That can stunt growth. So we have to think through these issues, even as we thank God for them. And I just wanted you to know that the vestry is aware, and we're trying to think it through as best we can. Two things we think we might do for that. The first is to maybe start a second service. The vestry will be discussing this at our December meeting. And the idea there would be to just start a service, probably an early service at like 8 o'clock in the morning, just to relieve some pressure off of the 10:30. We didn't want to move anything else, because choir practices at 9. There's no place else in this building where they can practice while service is going on, and we wouldn't hear them. So we really can't have anything overlapping with the choir's practice. And then we've got this fellowship hour after the service. And so we didn't really want to move anything else. It seems to be working. And so we decided like an 8 to 9 o'clock service, a slightly simplified version of what we're doing at 10:30, would just allow some folks who would prefer an earlier time to go to that service instead and just relieve a little pressure off of the 10:30. I have some families with young children who have said that that would actually be better for them. I've actually even had some college students who said they would prefer an 8 o'clock service, if you can believe it. So it'll probably be smaller than the 10:30, but that's where we're thinking right now, and we'll come to a decision about that at our December meeting. The other thing is, as Wendy said, is our new hire. And the bishop strongly twisted my arm about not saying anything about it until we had a signature on a piece of paper. So here is Tim's signature and Bishop Julian's signature. This is a legal contract. So he will be coming in May. The reason for the delay is that his wife is a tax accountant and it's difficult for her to leave her work during the first 4 months of the year. So that's one of the reasons why they are delayed. But I'm super excited Tim is coming. Wendy got to see him. Wendy and Eric saw him ordained a deacon at last year's synod, and then he'll be ordained a priest at this year's synod. So he'll be available to serve at the altar, to preach in the, to preach for me on occasion. I'm super thrilled that he's coming. The vestry got to meet him at my house. We all had a great time. They've got two little girls, Bailey and Dabney. Are those the two? So they're a wonderful couple. Okay. Just a couple quick comments on our budget, and then I'll turn to my conclusion here. The budget is ambitious. It represents a roughly $15,000 increase in budgeted expenses over what we actually took in for operating expenses this year. Operating expenses is money given to us. It's not for designated for any purpose. It's just money people put in the plate, or they write a check and say, here's money. As opposed to people who write money for particular things, for like the organ or the parking lot, that's not part of our operating income. That's actually designated. So when you see some of those buzzwords in the budget presentation, that's what they're doing there. That seems ambitious for a small parish like us, but $15,000 is actually about what we took in more than we expected to last year, this year. So we think it's within striking distance of this parish, and we've seen the generosity when there's a challenge. And the major increase, frankly, is Tim's salary. That's the biggest increase over last year, is paying him. We wanted to give him something. It's not a full-time salary. It's $20,000. So he'll have to work, or his wife will have to work. But we thought that would just sweeten the deal a little bit, make it a little easier for them to come. But other increases include fulfilling our 1% increase in our tithe through our diocese. We're actually one of the larger parishes in our diocese, believe it or not. Wendy got to see that at the synod last year. And so their budget's very dependent on churches giving money. The bishop's pay, all of his travel, that's the bulk of it. And so we have an opportunity to really bless our bishop and his ministry to us by going up to a full tithe. He only actually asks us for 4%. And so there are several churches in our diocese that don't give anything. And so we're really pleased to be a resource church for our bishop moving forward. But another way in which we are a resource for our diocese is that we're helping get a church started in South Bend. They met with Bishop Julian in our undercroft for the very first time. A bunch of them came up here to talk to him. We had some of them confirmed a couple Sundays back with him here. We've already actually played a pretty pivotal role in their formation as a young church. They have about 40 people showing up on Sundays these days. They're meeting in the afternoons. But one thing that our national church is very, very committed to, particularly as we are sort of putting the Episcopal Church in the rearview mirror and looking forward to mission, is that we need to get more congregations started. One, we don't have enough. And two, that's the best way to reach people who don't know Jesus, is with new church plants. And so every year they're strongly encouraging parishes to support a church plant by various other means. Either we can start one ourselves, or we can pay to support one. And every year they put that pressure on the parishes by asking me on the report I have to fill out, how many daughter churches have you supported this year? And I always have to say zero. Whereas next year we can say we've supported a church getting started. So it's not a lot of money, but it's more than we've ever spent before, helping them get started. And there will be check-ins. At the end of the year, we'll check in with them, find out what they need. And the goal would be to ratchet that down so they can get to full self-sustaining status. So that's what that gift is. One final thought, then I'll take questions. When the vestry and I get together to try to make decisions about some of these things, I try to keep in mind, I try to make them, to help them to remember that the church is not like any other organization. We're not like the Rotary Club. We're not like any other charitable organization. We have things in common with them. Of course, we've got boards, we've got budgets, we've got things in property we have to steward. But I don't want that, the budget and all these things, to obscure the fact that we're not actually like other organizations. Stewardship is necessary to take care of the things God's given us, yes. But so is faith. Christ asks us to take risks so that we can follow him and advance his kingdom. And so I try to remember that our first and primary call is to be disciples of Jesus together as a parish. I love the way this prayer for our general convention starts. You know, we're asking God to keep us safe and to sanctify us and govern us in our decision making so that the comfortable gospel of Christ may be truly preached, truly received, and truly followed to the breaking down of sin, Satan, and death. That's why we're here. We're not here because we like the liturgy that we have. We're not even here for the beauty of it, though we're blessed to have it. We're here because God is eminently worthy. The sacrifice of his son puts us very much in his debt. We have a duty and a joy to serve him and to grow in fellowship with him and obedience to him and to get other people who don't know him into the family. That's why we're here. And so that's why we want to make decisions together, is based on that goal as a parish. As we look at the church in our country, it's easy to see the church in decline. And it's easy to lament it. Oh, those young kids these days, they don't care about Jesus or the church or the Ten Commandments. But I have to ask you all, and I ask this as your pastor, to what extent do our own actions and priorities in our lives demonstrate to the outside culture that the church is something worth taking a sacrifice for? You know, it's easy to lament the moral decay of our culture, but then if we're not willing to set aside time to follow Jesus and be obedient to him, why do we think anybody else would want to either? Because we claim to follow him. And so let that question be in your mind this year as you think about ways you can partner with Holy Trinity to serve our ministry here. If we want to communicate to the culture that Christ is worth it, let's communicate by example before we start preaching. We have to show the world that Jesus is eminently worthy of our love and our respect. And we're a family here at Holy Trinity. If everybody doesn't come to the dinner table, which is the dinner table of our Lord upstairs, the conversation's diminished, the fellowship's diminished. And so I really want you all to really think hard and pray hard and wrestle with the Lord. What ways can I show by my own example, my own time commitments, my own sacrifices I'm willing to make, that the church is worth supporting and that Christ is worth following? So that's how I will conclude. That's what I call a vestry too when we make decisions about our ministry together here as a parish. And that's my challenge to all of you. And at this point, I would like to just give you all the opportunity to ask any questions you might have about any of the reports that you just heard. Jerry gets first dibs because he had a question. So go for it, brother.
Yeah, it's not really so much about church operations as the nature of the Holy Trinity. But I always wondered why, when the branches were cut down for the expansion of the parking lot, they weren't removed instead of being pushed over in the woods there. And they look pretty crappy for a long, long time. Now the leaves are kind of decomposing a little bit, but I just wondered why that debris was never removed.
Julie, do you?
Yeah. First of all, it was an extra expense that we didn't want to go into at that time. And also, if you notice before, there were all the vines and everything grew. So when spring comes, there'll be all these vines over them. It will be all green there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We are going to remove that. Our biggest problem was we lost our chipper in Hillsdale.
Yeah.
There was a place that we could rent a chipper. You can't just rip the chip that away. So we were all set, but that will disappear.
Really?
It's not as big.
Yeah, we also hope to replant some of those pine trees that we tore down, I think, was one of our long-term priorities.
Daisy Brown planted all those.
Yeah. I was disappointed to see them go, honestly. But if you have a heart for donating a pine tree to help get some of them replanted, that'll also help
make
to obscure.
Sure that we get them back for it, though.
Yeah. Well, day-to-day ministry doesn't really need to be managed by the vestry in that regard, so he'll have a little bit of an open rein to decide what he thinks best. He'll be working closely with me, but one aspect of the job description that's pretty explicit is that he will work with parish families. So one of the first things he'll do, and he said this to us, was that he'd like to visit parish families in their homes if possible, get to know them, and find out what their hearts are for their kids and for formation in the ministry. So he will be working with parents closely and helping me know what the needs are by being a resource for that regard. So that's the process as it's currently envisioned. Any other questions about anything we've presented on so far? You guys make it really easy for me. Come on, man. This is your opportunity to grill me. Okay, well, in that case, for the sake of time, let's move on to the last item of business on the agenda, and that's the election of vestry. Last year, we didn't have a list of the vestry, and we got asked, on the front cover of your annual report is the list of the current vestry. Our vestry is officially 6 seats. We had 7 seats this year. If you recall, the vestry created a special 1-year seat so that Julia could serve one extra year as junior warden to finish out the parking lot project. Her seat is going away. So we have 3 people coming off, but only 2 seats that are open. Well, it's Bill Hill and Russ Millette will be coming off the vestry this year, and we need to elect two new people. The process for that election, on page 17, you'll see how eligibility works for both voting and for vestry. Every year, usually the vestry nominates a couple of people to fill those seats. This year, we've nominated Eric Marshall and Alan Knight. Where is Eric? You guys all know Eric. He's sitting right there. And then Alan, you may be new to some folks, so please just stand up quickly so they can see you. Alan is a professor of business at Spring Arbor. He's been worshiping with us for the last year or so, and we're delighted to have him. Thanks, Alan. But there is, our bylaws do call for nominations from the floor, and there's a list here of names of everybody who's currently eligible, though they have to be willing to serve, of course. My recommendation is to go with the vestry's nominations, but that is how this process works, so I don't get to vote.
You don't get to vote.
Nope.
There are more ballots if anyone is missing one or pens.
So are there any nominations from the floor? In choosing our candidates for the vestry, we try to take a very, very serious stock of the demographics of the parish. We want a mix of young and older. We want a mix of people who are sort of legacy members of this parish, who've been here many years and have a lot invested in here, and as well as new arrivals. So we want to try to have a vestry that speaks for everybody so that we can make sure all voices are heard whenever we wrestle with issues together. So that's kind of where these names came from as we sort of put them together. Yes, Jackie.
I move that we accept the nomination as suggested by the vestry.
Okay. Can I get a second for that?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Say hi. Any opposed? Okay. Well, go ahead and write down, just take check. How do the ballots, what do they actually look like? Yeah, just put a check mark next to any name that you would like to see on the vestry. Two seats, two names. Thank you. I don't know how many of those pens work. I'm going to go ahead and assume that Eric and Alan were duly elected. So, thank you, Alan and Eric, for your willingness to serve. I would like, at this point, just a motion on the floor to thank Bill and Julia and Russ for their service of the vestry these past years. Wendy so moves. Can I get a second? Phil seconds. Any discussion?
Can I just say, 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very grateful.
I would like to give my own personal thanks to Russ. Bill was not able to be here for your service. But I also want to give a little bit of extra thanks to Julia for two reasons. A, she bent over backwards for you all last year. We had a lot of things come up, the alarm system, the shingles of the roof, the parking lot, that she was running point on. And I was constantly a bug in her ear. And she was always patient with me. The other reason, though, I want to really thank Julia is because Julia is about to leave us temporarily. You've noticed that John hasn't been with us. They are about to start their retirement road trip around the country, starting in Florida for a couple months, right? Julia, would you please come forward? I prepared this gift for you so you can remember us on the road as a sign of our gratitude for your years of service, and especially this last year. And thankfulness. So can we get a round of applause for Julia?
Thank you very much.
Don't forget about us. So all in favor of thanking Bill, Russ, and Julia for their service in the vestry, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Absolutely not. Okay. All right. So the last thing I want to do, and then we'll conclude this. The New Testament exhorts ministers in the church to give thanks and to honor those who labor. Paul encourages that in 1 Corinthians 16:18, Philippians 2:29, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Here's a quick trick about how you read the Bible. Anytime you see something coming up more than once, probably important. Okay? So we are called to recognize and honor those who do such faithful service. So I just want to just do a quick list of people who really have benefited me this year. First of all, I want to give thanks to Russ and Julia Millette. You guys notice our grounds outside, all the bushes? They take care of that for us by themselves. So thank you so much for your sacrificial service. I get comments so often about how bucolic our grounds seem, and that's entirely because of you and Julia. You'll see them out there sometimes in work gloves, their hands in the dirt. So thank you. I want to give thanks to all the folks who came for cleanup days. We do them twice a year. Those are very important. We don't have a full-time janitor at this church. We don't have a sexton. Our grounds are taken care of and our building's taken care of because you guys take care of it. And so I want to encourage you, when you see those announcements, to strongly find a way to set aside that time. It's usually on a Saturday morning. We like to provide lunch because that's how we take care of our building. I want to thank you all for those who've come and served at those. I want to especially give thanks to Abraham Paternoster. He's a student who had to leave. But Abraham, along with my wife, shoveled off bat guano from the ground in there for about an hour and a half last time we gathered. And I was just so overwhelmingly thankful that this student was on his hands and knees with a scraper. If you see Abraham, if you don't know him, I'll point him out to you, but just say thank you to him for helping us maintain the cleanliness of our building. I want to give thanks, this will be very obvious, to Marsha Marshall and Pi Ringenberg for all the food they provide for us every week. If you look at Marsha's report about the fellowship ministry, she needs your help. So please talk to her about how you can partner to bring food a little bit so that the burden's not so heavy on Pi and Julia. But you guys, just where are you guys? I see Marsha and Pi. Thank you so much for your service to this parish. I also want to thank in that vein Mr. Eric Marshall, who stays every week and helps pick up trash and clean up this room. He's always got a big trash bag running around. It's remarkable. Thank you, Eric, for your sacrificial service. I want to thank all my altar servers. I give you guys a heck of a hard time. I know that I'm very verbose and give very complex directions, which isn't always appreciated by some of you all, so sorry about that. But these guys are on duty every week up at the altar, and they can't miss. Something, you know, if they have to miss, they have to find a sub. We need them up there. And so that's Blake McAllister, Dave Hanley, Kelly Robinson, Russ Millette, Bill Hill, John Jordan, and introducing Josh Bailey and Alan Knight, who have been added to our ranks. Of course, there's a name missing from there, Clifford Humphrey. You get extra thanks from me for helping organize some of the chaos upstairs and helping organize our volunteer schedule. So thank you, brother, for your service. Thank you, gentlemen. I want to thank our folks who work with children, especially our students who volunteer downstairs in the nursery, and also our helpers who help out with Awana every Wednesday night. Catherine already spoke to you about them. I also want to give an especially warm thanks to Stevie Nichols. I can convey this to her. Please give it a round of applause for Stevie. So let me tell her we miss her here. I also want to give thanks to Dietrich Balsba and Vera McIntosh, who have committed themselves to being here every Wednesday night to help out with the kids. I want to thank our choir and our musicians. You guys do such extraordinary work. Where is Casey? Thank you, Casey, for your service with the choir. Steve, where are you? Oh, there you are, brother. Steve on the organ. God bless you, brother. If you're in the choir, please raise your hand just like this quickly. Please give a round of applause to these folks. You guys really do make our worship angelic on Sunday morning, so thank you. And then last, but very much not least, I need to thank my wife, because she's awesome. You guys all know that better than I do, I think. Her leadership in the music ministry is, of course, stellar by itself. And she's led so much work in the new organ, getting the risers constructed so her choir can see, helping Casey recruit singers, setting goals. I know they love working together. They work very well together. That's what we actually pay her for, but she goes above and beyond that. When we had a difficulty finding a way with our children's ministry, finding a way forward, Catherine jumped into the fray and was like, I'll lead it. And she drove, her and Stevie together drove several weeks in a row up to Jackson to watch an Awana club up there and see how it works. They did all the heavy lifting of getting volunteers, getting the materials. They're the reason why the kids keep wanting to come back. She did that. We didn't ask her to. We don't pay her to. She just stepped into the fray. She also comes along with me to pastoral appointments and sits with me and sits with people who are going through trials. who need to be encouraged. And she's here, like I am, every time the church is opened. And I think the most difficult challenge of all is she has to put up with me. The vestry tells me to shut up and stop talking. She does that as well. She's practiced me in this art of shutting up. Catherine, would you please come forward? These are for you. Thankfulness. Please give her a round of applause, everybody. I'm telling you, I joke with Julian. I'm pretty convinced that he actually ordained me because he met my wife and thought it would be great to have her in the diocese. I said that to Julian. Julian just kind of evades. Doesn't. So there might be some truth to it. Of course, he himself knows well what it means to marry a woman who overwhelmingly enhances and even makes possible the ministry. And so thank you, Catherine, for your support and your service to this parish and to me. So those are all the people I want to commend. There are many other people who've given of their time and treasure this year, and they deserve thanks too. But those are people in particular that have really touched me in this last year. If you want your name read next year, you know how to do it, right? Well, that's the last thing I have. I think it's the last thing on our agenda. So unless there are any other questions, about our business today?
I want to thank Anna for being our secretary every week or every month.
Did I not? Oh my gosh! Yes. Anna Robinson in the altar goes on my list. I did skipped it completely.
Right. Anna. And altar guild. She does both.
So Anna, who else is on the altar guild? We've got Sue and Marsha. Is Leah still here? Joni, Emily. All of these folks get that altar set up every week. So thank them also. See, Anna, it was actually on my list. It's here. And Anna is also making a baby. But Belinda brought up that Anna's been our secretary for these meetings the last few years and for the vestry. And she puts together these minutes every week or every month when you do them. So thank you, Anna, for your service in that regard as well. So thank you, Melinda, for reminding me. Any other? Oh, yes, Tim. That's on page 15. I encourage you to read it.
Yeah, she writes about how difficult it was last year and the year before because there wasn't really a community for students. It was very encouraging to have so many participants and people who have joined in. And we just got these sweatshirts.
I've actually got one I can show you all here.
Yeah.
So students on Hillsdale's campus who are with us will be showing themselves here very soon.
So thank you to all of you. We're very thankful.
And if you want to buy one of these, Danny, why don't they connect with you and then you can convey them.
We're doing an order next semester, so we'll announce next semester about...
The advantage of buying one of these, in addition to being very stylish, if I may say so, is that there's a little bit of a markup to go into the Anglican Fellowship's funds so that they can have gatherings and things. So if you want to support that ministry on Hillsdale College's campus, this is a fundraiser they're doing to help do that. So you're also benefiting their ministry if you buy one, as well as yourself. So thank you, Tim, for putting that together and taking leadership on that. Anything else? Thank you very much. God bless you. It really is my privilege and my pleasure to serve you all. Catherine and I are just so immensely thankful for the little niche that he's given to us here in Hillsdale County among you. It's been a great, great blessing to know you all. Many of you know that leaving our parish of Philadelphia came with some significant pastoral challenges, and we've been so loved and supported here. We just thank God for all of you as we think about you. So thank you for making it pretty easy for me, frankly. Give yourselves a round of applause. Why not? We're passing them out today, huh? Okay, well, can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Melinda moves. Sue seconds. So noted. Well, all in favor of adjourning today's meeting?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all for coming. God bless you. The meeting's adjourned.